This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to season 4 of the To Health With That podcast, where we break up big health topics into small bites. I'm your host, naturopathic doctor Amy Neuzel, and this season we'll dive into something we are all familiar with: fatigue. What is it? Why does it happen? Most importantly, how can we fix it outside of this? Enjoy the video version of this podcast on YouTube. The channel is at To Help With That.
This week, let's talk about sleep anxiety and mental bad habits. So sleep anxiety is exactly what it sounds like. It's anxiety about not being able to sleep. This is a common symptom that I hear both within the MTHFR community and outside of it. Sleep anxiety is sort of a monstrous hybrid of anxiety and insomnia. It can start from either place. I've seen clients who have trouble sleeping that then morphs into sleep anxiety. And I've also seen clients with anxiety-related disorders like PTSD that then begins to affect sleep and, like a snake eating its own tail, turns into anxiety about sleep. The two factors become really intertwined, both of them feeding off one another. For many people, sleep anxiety arises out of some other issue with sleep. For example, someone who has months of pain, say from a broken bone, those months wear them down and make every moment of actual sleep that they get kind of fragile and precious. It's like something they have to protect. One day, they realize the pain isn't actually a problem anymore, but the sleep is still elusive. Their brain now is keeping them awake, fretting about not getting enough sleep because they've been used to doing that. They've basically got themselves into a habit. So where's the line between a sleep disorder caused by something like pain or medication changes, which is another really, really common interrupter of sleep, and sleep anxiety? And how do you know when you've crossed that line? I'm the type of person who processes on paper, so it helps me to write things down in a logical way from the beginning. When did your sleep problem start? What was going on in your life at that time? What was the issue then? Has that issue resolved? Or has it changed? What's actually keeping you awake now? I hear lots of people say, I'm awake. I'm just awake. I can't sleep, okay? If this is the case for you, then it's a good idea to do your due diligence and check if you have any of these factors. Pain, restlessness or muscle tension, overactive mind at night, but not in an anxiety way. So you're not worrying at this point. Your mind is just going. It's busy. Nightmares, difficulty breathing, thyroid disorders, or recent medication changes. So if any of these are ringing bells for you, it's time to actually look at that. Recent medication changes are a much bigger factor than people realize, right? Because we kind of take medicine for granted, right? Like, oh yeah, my dose changed, my this changed, my doctor switched me from one antihistamine to another or one antidepressant to another or whatever. But medication changes, especially in the big antis, right? Like I like to call them the antis. Antihistamines, antidepressants, antipsychotics, anti-seizure medications. Those are notorious medications for causing sleep weirdness that can linger for months, for some people even years after a medication change. How do we fix it? Here's a few strategies to try. Number one, ritualize your sleep routine. For some people, developing a non-negotiable sleep routine that's actually more like a ritual is soothing to their anxiety, right? It builds confidence in every step of the sleep routine is bringing you closer to actual sleep. What really matters here is the faithfulness, the exactitude, right? Doing it every night that allows your mind to accept the inevitability of sleep. Your ritual should be built by you of things that make you feel peaceful, feel restful, feel confident about yourself, right? Feel nurtured. Often people include prayer or meditation or breathing exercises or another element that really helps to quiet their mind. Some people make a list of their worries that they can then write down each night so they don't have to be held in their head. Other people journal. Others might listen to a relaxing music or light a candle. Whatever you want to include in the sleep ritual, make it work for you. The most important factor, again, is the ritualization. For other people, vigorous exercise, right? So we live in a world where we tend to burn down our brains every day. We get a lot of mental activity, but for a lot of us, we don't get a ton of physical activity. And we may do our due diligence on a treadmill or something like that, but very few people actually push themselves to physical exhaustion. So physical exhaustion is actually a trigger for sleep under even the weirdest, most difficult sleep conditions. Your body needs to shut down because it has to repair muscles, rebuild, undo damage, and actually adjust for all of the things that happened physically. So for some people, the ritualized sleep routine actually builds anxiety rather than banishes it. For those people, I recommend ignoring sleep completely. Treat sleep like it's not a deal. And this is a little bit counterintuitive, especially if you've spent years focusing on sleep hygiene. And actually, this will work best for you if you've spent years focusing on sleep hygiene. By putting all of that focus into sleep, you make it very important, right? It's mentally very important. It's emotionally very important. And it just keeps heightening the tension around it. So if you've been trying for years with sleep hygiene and sleep routines and blah, 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 and you still have sleep anxiety, toss it all out the window, right? Don't think about what you're supposed to do or not supposed to do. Binge watch a show. Stay up as late as you want. Do whatever you want. Don't even try to encourage sleep at all. And if you fall asleep in the process, well, that's fine. Break all the rules. Break all the rules right now. Do your thing. Have a bit of fun. If you feel sleepy, maybe lay your head down wherever you are. See if sleep happens. It might. It might not. If it doesn't, do something else. If it doesn't sound like it's for you, another thing you can do is work with a professional for cognitive behavioral therapy, so CBTI, which stands for cognitive behavioral therapy, insomnia. So this sets a set of rules and parameters around sleep, what you can and can't do, how long you can stay in bed. But the point of this entire therapy is not laying around in bed thinking about how you're not sleeping or getting into a worry cycle, right? This is designed to break that cycle. So if you're in bed for X number of minutes, you get up, you do something, you read until you're sleepy, and then go back to bed. But you're not allowed to just lay there ruminating on it because that doesn't help anybody. Usually, CBTI is something you will do with a therapist or a specialist who does this, who trains people to do this, and who will work with you to actually get this system down. Prescription medications. So for a small handful of people with sleep anxiety, benzodiazepines, which are anti-anxiety medications at bedtime, can actually interrupt that cycle and induce sleep for you. Benzodiazepines are not supposed to be prescribed long-term, although I've seen a lot of doctors do it. But what this gives you is that little interrupt to break the anxiety about sleeping, right? It very much depends on you as a person and your situation. But it is something to talk with your doctor about. And also sleep anxiety is something to talk with your doctor about to see if they have solutions that they've seen or helpful professionals that they can refer you to. Another thing you can try to do for sleep anxiety is break your mental bad habits. We talked about three techniques in season number one, episode 34, to break mental bad habits. Sleep anxiety is the epitome. It's the definition of a mental bad habit. So any of these three techniques we talked about can work well if you remember to use them. And I will link to that video in the show notes. Thanks so much for being here today. Remember to like and subscribe on YouTube or leave a review on your favorite podcast channel.